This is an interview with Felix Mantilla, and I'm Bill Stevens. And the standard disclaimer that this might be heard by other people and reporters and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, but the first, you know, getting way, way back a little bit, how was it growing up in Isabella? How did that...
I started playing with the police athletically.
Ah.
And then it was a team of older guys. We call it Class A ball.
Okay. And this was in a Puerto Rican?
In my hometown.
Okay.
Yes. And I played for them 1 year.
Thank you.
And from there I went to Arecibo. It was about 45 minutes from my hometown. And that's Double A. And I played there 2 years. I joined the Puerto Rican national team that we played the series in Mexico. And we won the whole thing. The only Puerto Rican team to ever win
anything. Is that
anything.
Right?
Yes.
Anybody? Who else was on that team that made it? Anybody else?
A few guys played pro in the Puerto Rican league, but none of them made it to the
bigs.
To the bigs.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, now what position did you play then?
At that time, I was playing third.
Oh, is that right? You were always an infielder, though.
Always an infielder.
Okay.
I came as a third baseman, and the first year I played with Evansville, I started as a third baseman. But then Bob Coleman, who was the manager, said, "Well, now I'm going to try you short."
Yeah.
And that was it.
Okay, so, but you ended up playing everything except, what, first base and then catcher?
Catcher, yes.
Well, now, how big of a family did you come from?
Two sisters and myself.
Okay, so you were the only, and what did your dad do?
He used to work on construction.
Okay.
And he was what we call it, he used to drive a publico car. Publico car is like a taxi driver.
Well, when did you start playing baseball? When you were a little kid? Does everybody in Puerto Rico play baseball?
At the time that I was playing, it seemed like the whole town was playing baseball.
Yeah.
Because
like the Dominican Republic.
Sure,
that
everybody plays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I started with the police athletic league. Very young. It was maybe 9 or 10.
Is that like the little leagues here today?
Kind of. Yes.
Hmm. So then you were interested in baseball right off the bat. Now, did you play in high school too, or is that?
Well, that was almost the same thing. You know,
yeah.
Yes. We used to play softball and hard pitch. You know, we call them. You know. Softball and baseball and track. I used to run track.
Oh, is it? What were you in track?
100 meters.
Oh, yeah? You still do that today?
I don't think so. I won't be able to go from here across the street. Then.
I think you could probably.
And that'll be walking.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite player or team when you were a kid?
My favorite player, I had a couple of, you know, when I grew up. There was a guy named Luis Marquez.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah. He used to play for the Braves.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think he played here when they used to be the Brewers.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Yes. It was Luis Marquez and Luis Olmo.
Luis Olmo.
Yeah.
Luis Olmo was, I think, one of the first Puerto Rican players, wasn't he?
Yes.
Him
and Hiram Bithler.
That's right. He
pitched for the Cubbies.
That's
and I think 1 year he won 20 games.
I think he, in fact, he was with the Cubs in 45, I think, when the last time they won.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I didn't realize that he was Puerto Rican because it's not a standard Puerto Rican name.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, don't they have a baseball field named after him?
In San Juan, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that stadium been there since 1964 or
5. Okay.
Yes.
I'm
Stadium.
See, I started following baseball in about 45, so I remember listening to that World Series that year.
Because Luis Olmo has a park there too in the professional league there in Arecibo.
Is he still alive? Do you know?
Yes, I saw him the year before last.
Did you really?
He's in the 80s. He looks good.
Yeah.
But the only thing he does now is play golf. Yeah, but he looks good.
That's his game. Yeah, thank you. Well, now, how did this? Did somebody just were always watching you guys, scouts and things like that? Is that how you ended up get? Who signed you, and how did that take place?
Well, I was signed by the Cowboys baseball team of the professional league,
okay,
Puerto Rican league. And then the Cowboys team sent me to Merrill Beach, South Carolina, where the Boston Braves used to train.
Sure.
And from then on, you know, Boston signed me and sent me to Evansville, and then from Evansville I went to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And then from Jacksonville I went to Toledo.
Okay, got the whole goods on you here.
That's right. That's right.
So Evansville, now how old were you when you went to Evansville? And you were
17.
17 years old. How did that feel, a 17-year-old kid? I've probably never been out of Puerto Rico?
Never, and I remember I needed about maybe a month or a little over a month to finish high school. So the principal knew that I was coming to the States, and he told me, well, Felix, you might have some problems when you get to the United States. But I couldn't figure out what kind of problems he was talking about. And he said that you're going to go from San Juan to Miami, and then from Miami to Merrill Beach, South Carolina. He said, sometime if you ride a bus, to avoid problems,
You
have to sit in the back. So I was telling him, I said, why should I sit in the back?
This is all new to you.
Yeah, because we didn't go through that in Puerto Rico. So he said, well, that's the way, you know, the laws are in Florida and in South Carolina. So I said, well, I'll try, you know, to follow, you know, what you're saying.
But he was trying to warn you a little bit.
That's right. Yeah.
But he couldn't prepare you for it, though, could he? I mean, I got to ask how that, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that being in your position, even aside from baseball, to walk into that.
Well, it was a little easier coming from San Juan, and then we stopped in Miami, because with me, there were about 10 Puerto Rican guys.
Oh, okay.
That they were coming to the same kind of spring training.
So you weren't all alone.
Yeah. So at the time that we took the train from Florida to Merrill Beach, then we had, you know, we started seeing things that we didn't see in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
We supposed to go in certain cars. Black folks, you know, they ain't right here. So it was an adventure, I would say that.
Adventure is So here you started out playing. Well, Evansville's in Indiana, but that's still a bit of a southern town, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely segregated at that time.
Wow. How did you cope with it? Is that something you just said to yourself, look, I'm playing ball and that's the way it is? Or did you get angry about it? Or is that...
Well, at that age, you know, you see things different, you know, and... I didn't speak English too well, and if someone were calling me names, I didn't know what the hell they were talking
so
about.
It was lucky.
So I didn't care.
Blissfully ignorant.
So you know how when you're young, you look at the
That's
thing
true.
Completely.
That's true. Well, who was your first manager then at Evansville?
Bob Coleman. He was a great man.
Good guy?
Very good guy.
What did you like about him?
Well, he was the one that I used to ride with. You know, we used to ride in... station wagon. So it was a guy named Vital. I think he was Mexican. He used to ride in the wagon because he could speak Spanish a little bit. And then Bob, and then a driver, and the dog's dog. He had a big German Shepherd, and all of us used to get in the station wagon. We used to go, let's say, from Evansville to Burlington. Terre Haute, you know. So
first class.
Yeah, that's right. I used to ride with the manager. Yeah. So from then on, you know, like me. I like the guy a lot. You know. Give me a chance to play.
How much coaching did you get in those days?
In Terre Haute, you know, we used to get the kind of coach.
Yeah.
Yes. But it seemed like in the newer days, you know, they don't get that. You know, for fundamentals, you know, that's obsolete. But we used to get it, years ago. Sliding, running bases, everything.
Now, was that all new to you? And now, in Puerto Rico, you were playing because you...
That you like it,
yeah.
we didn't get that much teaching yet.
Yeah.
You go over there and play the damn game. That's
sure,
it.
Sure.
But when we got to spring training, they used to tell you, well, at 7 o'clock, breakfast. Quarter to 8, we walk to the ballpark.
Wow.
Then you dress. 9:30,
we're on the, all
that's
right
it.
Now.
Then you're on the piece of, I think it was 4 or 5 diamonds. And the coaches, they used to watch from upstairs. And then you go to 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever.
There's like a production factory on market.
Sure.
What was the toughest thing for you to learn in terms of fundamentals?
It wasn't sliding because I knew how to slide.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a rundown.
Ah.
In Puerto Rico, we didn't care if it take half an hour to get a runner.
Right.
As long as we get the guy.
Yeah. Right.
But then here, they just say, no, but 2 or 3 throws, you know, you got to get this guy. So that was a little hard.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, you had a good year at Evansville. You hit 323?
Yes.
Not bad. And a little bit, 23 doubles, stole 28 bases.
28 bases, that used to run pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, it went from 23 to 13 to 11.
going down.
Yeah. Well, then you, 53, then you went to Jacksonville.
Yes.
Now, that was a promotion for you.
From B-ball to A-ball, that was...
okay.
That was... But yeah. I was supposed to go from... I heard I was supposed to go from the B-ball to AA-ball.
Okay, they kind of led you to believe that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then they said, no, you're going to send you to Jacksonville. But that was A-ball. But then I found out the reason that he sent me to the Crackers. It used to be Atlanta Crackers.
Yeah.
That was a AA team.
Yep.
Then he sent me there because Atlanta was very segregated. And
yeah,
I could have problems. Plus, I was a younger guy, so they didn't want to rush me into
Okay.
Like that.
So it was as much the social scene at that time as it was baseball.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so you went to spring training then with Jacksonville, or you went to spring training with the Braves?
With the Brewers.
With the Brewers. That's
right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How
yeah,
soon?
It was a Triple-A team.
That's right. 52 was that was the year that we got the Braves in Milwaukee.
Yeah, 50.
That's right.
Yes. I think we got a 53. Huh?
53.
Yeah.
I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
About the same age.
Yeah.
Ben Garrity was a manager there.
In Jacksonville.
Yeah, Hank Aaron said that he was the best manager he ever played for.
Very good guy.
Yeah,
very good guy. He used to have, you know, kind of a nervous guy, you know, but a very good manager.
Yeah.
And a very good human being. And I used to ask him, I said, well, you kind of... spastic, you know.
He's
nervous, you know. He said, well, somewhere he had another team, you know, I don't know if it was B-ball or whatever, and they were running a bus or whatever, and the bus went over an embankment.
Oh, really?
Some people got killed. And,
wow.
And from then on, he was kind of a shaky.
That would do it for me, too. I remember him when, with the old association, he played with Indianapolis. And he got into a big fight with a guy named Joe Rulo. And I don't know why I remember that, but he apparently didn't back down a lot either.
He was a good man.
Tough man. Here's where I got the whole sordid story. Aaron, now, just I'm going to give you this.
Right.
I think you'll get a kick out of it. But it's talking about, it says, a typically hot summer in 53, and the first that black players had been allowed to play minor league ball in Dixie. Jacksonville had Aaron, shortstop Felix Mantilla, and outfield Horace Garner.
Yeah, yeah. Horace died about maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And here's the part I did. Aaron was quiet, almost mute. He was uneducated and shy. The 1974 Aaron is testimony to what a man can do with his mind and body if given a chance. Mantilla was outgoing, a flashy Puerto Rican who wore chartreuse trousers and a zoot suit key that hung to his knees. Is that true?
I can't remember. So many years ago.
Well, the guy that wrote this apparently was a scoreboard kid, Hubert Mizell.
Yeah, well,
he apparently hung the numbers out there.
I used to be kind of flashy there those years. Yeah. So I guess they're telling the truth.
It said Felix, well, it talks about, it says Felix made it to the majors from Milwaukee and then the Red Sox. Garner retired to become a bartender a few blocks away on Ashley Street, apparently. And it talks about, you know, still being a segregated ballpark.
Yeah.
And 3 hours before the game, each game, an old aircraft searchlight from World War II would be cranked up behind the right field. And it, some stuff you'll probably remember, but it said, yeah, I was talking about, that Aaron Mantee and Garner wound up at a rooming house owned by the proprietor of Manuel's Tavern.
That's right. And it, you know, the amazing thing was that he had a beautiful home, you know, not too far from the ballpark.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And the guy was Puerto Rican.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You were from a town called Mayagüez.
So you felt a little bit more comfortable.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure.
And it seems disgraceful now. But then, to all concerned, it seemed in place. Aaron Mantee and Garner never complained openly. And in fact, all three were outstanding players, the fact that they were all three outstanding players kept problems down among the white fans on the road. The three played stayed in private black homes and ghetto wise,
yeah,
or in crummy hotels that belonged to the Skid Row League. That
the I remember we played in Montgomery, Alabama,
mm,
and we stayed in this hotel so-called. And we staying upstairs because downstairs is a restaurant. Well, they used to fry fish.
You can still smell it today.
I mean, we're talking during the summertime, you know, and the window had to be open, you know.
Yeah.
And then you're smelling that.
Do you eat fish to this day?
Maybe that's why I like fish.
Well, how did, again, was that just something that you just say, well, that's the way it is, or?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have any other choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was it, and then we go from there. And I remember when things used to go a little rough with the fans, you know, calling people names or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I told you a few minutes ago, you know, with me, you know, they could call me anything because I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. You know. But after the game, Horace and Hank and myself, we used to sit down. And I used to learn English from them, too.
Okay.
Because they started talking all these names that were being called, you know.
Yeah.
And they asked me, you heard when, you know, they called the deal.
Yeah.
I go, I don't know, because I didn't understand, you know. And they used to say, well, maybe that's why these people are getting pissed off at you. Because
you're not reacting.
Yeah, because I'm not reacting.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's why they should have learned those names in Spanish.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I've always got the impression that you know, I was shocked when I found, you know, when Hank was going for that home run record at some of the
stuff.
I was totally, because being back in Milwaukee then, we didn't hear about all that, and I was totally shocked. And I know that this, even, you know, that was kind of an advance. That was in the 70s.
Well, this is just a few years ago.
Yeah.
But it's still going to happen, you know. But,
yeah.
Not as bad as when we played in Jacksonville. That was scary, you know, sometimes. Yes.
Any times that you were really worried?
Well, I received a letter one time, and it was, the writing was pretty poor.
That makes sense.
But I saw a word. What it said, you know, but kill you, you know.
That you could read.
So I read that. Uh-huh. So I took the letter to someone on the ball club, and then the ball club called the FBI. Then the FBI came by the house, and they talking to me. I don't understand that much English, but I couldn't understand that one of the guys was telling me, said, we're going to be at the ballpark. Yeah.
Mm.
So I said, okay, you know, we play then. But I was a little worried because, I mean, you don't know who's the guy who's going to do you in.
Yeah, this is not a normal person.
That's right. But I played, you know, the whole year.
Yeah. Now, Hank went to Eau Claire the year, next year, he was at Eau Claire the year before.
He went to Eau Claire the year and I played with Evansville.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went to Evansville, and he went to Eau Claire.
Okay, and apparently the people in Eau Claire treated him pretty well. I think he always said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he always said that. Yeah, he told me that.
But then to go down south had to be a shock.
Yeah, that was a little different.
Oh.
Yeah. But Eau Claire was a won for him, you know, because he told me that.
Yeah, well, we were glad to see him back. okay, then in, okay, 278, 94 walks you had. That was...
What year was that?
That was in Jacksonville, 53, 94 walks, yeah. You know, I guess it said in that article, too, that Hank didn't lead the league in home runs that year. Somebody else did.
I don't know who...
Let's see, mention the guy here. Oh, Tom Giordano, who played with Savannah. Aaron had 22 and Giordano had 24. But I guess the Savannah ballpark had a 290-foot fence or something.
Yeah, down the line, yeah.
Yeah, well, he can always tell his grand, I hit more home runs than Hank Aaron.
That's right. That's right. But at that time, Savannah had a black player there, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think his last name was Reed. I can't remember the first thing.
So you guys weren't the first, but you were still pioneers.
Yeah,
I mean, you were.
Yeah. Sure. We were the first with Jacksonville.
Do you have? I wonder if modern day players, well, modern day kids, minority kids, have any idea of what it was like, or any appreciation for what you guys did. I would guess not. If I were a kid, I probably wouldn't either.
Yeah. They look at you like, what'd you do?
Yeah.
Well, I play baseball. Yeah, with whom?
Yeah.
Then you tell them, you know. They don't care, you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, nowadays it seems, I'm sure it was when you were a kid in Puerto Rico, and the same with, and when you got together with your friends, you found an empty lot, and you played catcher. And now they've got soccer, and they've got hoops. Everybody's got a hoop in their backyard, and I just wonder, without the Dominican Republic, what we'd be doing these days.
Yeah, the Dominican always been that way.
Yeah.
They're kind of poor, and everybody else tried to make it, you know, through sports, you know, through basketball or baseball. Baseball more, because they have a better chance of getting to the big leagues than basketball.
Yeah, there's something in that little tiny population. Thank you.
Can I get you anything?
That's enough.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. I'm trying to lose some weight.
Nothing else under there?
Oh, you got...
No, that's not me, Felix. No, according to this, you weigh 160 pounds here, fella, so...
Yeah, so I'm a little bigger. Yeah. I gave her a couple of dollars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then that was the end. You had a good year. They were satisfied with you. And then what happened at the end of the year and in spring training? Then in 54, you went to Toledo.
Toledo.
Okay.
54 and 5.
And 55.
With George Zucker, who was a man.
Ah.
Yeah.
And, okay.
George Theo, you know, played with us.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it was the old Milwaukee team that was switched to Toledo.
Yes, and they used to call it the Toledo Sox at that time. Because before, I think, they used to be
Mud
called Mudheads.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it became the Toledo Sox.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you were still at third base then?
No, I was playing short.
You were playing short? That's right, you were short in Jacksonville.
Yeah, short at Toledo.
Okay. Hit 16 home runs that year?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
That's some power.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Now, what? Tell me about Toledo, 54 and 55. What was that like? What, anything special happened there? Or it seems like this is just part of they had a plan for you.
Yeah, so and like from class A, I mean from class B to A,
keep
and
moving
then yeah, with Triple A and then to the big leagues, you know, and that what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Toledo had to. Decent years and 270s, I guess.
273, 275, pretty consistent, yeah.
And I was brought up 56, I think it was.
56, you were with Sacramento and Milwaukee.
Because I started spring training with the Braves.
Okay.
In Bradenton.
Okay.
And then
did you think you had a good chance of making the team that year?
Yes, because I came up north, you know, with them.
Yeah.
And we stayed at the hotel downtown.
No fish.
No, this was a fister there. And I thought, you know, I had the team made. And we played exhibition games against someone. You know, I remember the team. And right after the game, they told me, we are sending you to Sacramento.
Ah.
And I would wonder, why in the world didn't you tell me that from spring training? I would have kept on going, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of bringing me here, now I had to go back to...
Because they kind of brought you up.
So,
raised your hopes a little. How did that feel? Or was that just... Did you know you were coming back?
Well, the idea was that, you know, I could, you know, see through, you know, because they didn't send me back to AAA, they sent me to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Sacramento at that time was an open classification league.
Yeah.
You know.
Close to a big league.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, because most of the guys there were big leagues.
Yeah.
And I knew that. So I said, like, okay, you know, no problem.
Okay. Now, why did they say they were sending you back to Sacramento? Did they give you
a... I can't remember what the excuse was.
Yeah, you were there for about a half a season or something like that?
I was there about... Maybe 2 months, I think.
Okay. 55 games, yeah, whatever they, whatever that was, yeah. And then you got the call. Who told you you were going up?
The manager of Sacramento.
Do you remember who that was?
I can't recall. I'm sorry. I can't recall. But I'm trying to think. You know, But I was recalled, you know, and I joined the team in, I think it was New York.
Yeah, they, June 21st, 1956.
Yeah.
Your first game.
That's right.
How did it feel to, so you walked into the Polo Grounds then in those days?
No, it was Brooklyn Dodgers at that time.
Oh, wait, okay. You walked into Ebbets Field.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Sure.
You too. Here we go.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Sure.
So, How did it feel when you walked in the clubhouse first time? You probably knew some of those guys anyway,
I was
in that organization.
But I think it was New York. They could have been Pittsburgh, for one of the two, because they wanted me to join the team in one of the two places. But my first wife, you know, I wasn't married to Carol, I was married to another lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was pregnant at that time. So I told him, I said, I can't leave, you know, my wife just like that here.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
So I got to make some kind of arrangement, you know. I don't think they were too pleased with it. I said, well, this is it. So I...
Now they do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I joined the team in one of the two places with Pittsburgh, one of them.
Remember your first game?
I think I came in for a load, you know, for a couple of innings or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't that much of a, you know, big deal. I knew the guys already, you know, like Matthews and Pendleton, all those guys, you know. So
you'd played with all of those guys.
Yeah. So
And so that took care of 56. Got in 35 games, and then the what was it like being? I know what it was like being in Milwaukee in those days for a fan. What was it like for the players playing in Milwaukee? In those days.
Everybody used to talk about this city, you know, because I remember in spring training, Humberto Robinson, you know, told me, said, when you get to that city, you won't believe, you know, people that.
Is that right?
But I didn't have any idea, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, well, maybe the people I like in Puerto Rico, you know, they go kind of goofy, you know, for baseball. So, but when I came here, it was a different thing, you know.
Yeah.
At home, I'm in the house, you know, I could hear by the back door they're drumming some milk.
Is that right?
Golden Guernsey.
Golden Guernsey, yeah.
They used to bring, you know, every day, you know, a gallon or half a gallon of milk, free. Drop some beer, case of beer. And I said, why are they dropping this beer? I don't drink beer. Beer free.
No Polar sausages like Mexican.
No. We used to get the... Wisco 99 gas free.
Yeah.
We used to get a car from Rankin Sun free. Mm. Everything, you know. Right cleaning, everything.
Yeah.
I said, wow, I never been in a place like this before.
It'll never happen again. Either.
No. Never. And the fans, you know, who lose games or whatever, they didn't boo you. When coming from a Latin country, you know, when you start losing games, you know, you better watch your back.
Right?
You know.
Yeah.
But people here were very nice.
I used to see 30, 40 games a year in those days.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was there. Lots of people were there. Lots of times.
That's right.
What was that year like, Felix? I mean, that was really a super year.
Oh,
57.
57.
Yeah.
Unbelievable thing, though. I mean, you know, the park, you know, crowded every day. You know, every time we play there.
Yeah.
with a good ball club, you know, so it's a good feeling every time you go to the ballpark.
Sure.
You know, especially,
yeah.
you know, a good ball club like that. And then the fans, you know, right behind you, you know. So you can't lose, you know, with some... It was great.
So it does make a difference, too.
Oh, sure.
You know, one thing that I got through my head years ago, this book that I think Roger Kahn wrote about the old, the Boys of Summer. He went back and interviewed, I think, the old 47 Dodgers. Was it 47? Yeah, Duke Snyder and Jackie and all those guys, George Shuba. And he said, this is not a book about baseball players. This is a book about men who played baseball for a little.
Right.
And we forget that. We see you guys as baseball players. We don't see, you know, see you as the guys who raise families and go shopping and argue at home and go to the beach.
Thing,
and
though.
Yeah. So it's...
The Chicago fans are different, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the Cubbies, you know.
Yeah.
When I got released, but Houston, you know, my last year with Houston, they didn't want to release me, you know, so I wanted to play maybe one or two more years.
Mm-hmm.
And finally they released me. So I said, well, some people said, well, why don't you sign with some team in the American League? There were a couple of teams, you know, like Washington and Kansas City that need some help. I said, no, I want to play with Chicago. One, because, you know, I like, you know, the fans there. And two, because it's closer to home.
Sure.
You know, I was living here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I signed with Chicago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my last year. It didn't go too well because I suffered an injury, you know, to my Achilles tendon.
Ah, okay.
And that was it.
Okay.
I couldn't play that particular year. Then the following year, they called me back. They said, come with us and see, you know, how your leg went.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with them again, but I couldn't do anything.
That was the end, yeah.
Yes. Maybe if I would have suffered that injury, you know, now, you'll be playing in 2 months or 3 months.
You don't know.
Sure.
You know, one thing I noticed about today's game, too, though, Felix, is, but they had an article in the Journal Sports section a couple of months, the disabled lists, I mean, man, they are this long. And I just don't remember when you guys were playing that everybody was on a disabled list all the time.
But,
and maybe they should have been.
Well, yes, because you remember the pitcher should go 9 innings.
Yeah,
if you don't pitch,
you expected them to.
Sure. If not, you're assistant, you know, something, you know, they call you, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you get hurt, you know, a couple of times, they call you tissue paper, you know. Are you a tissue paper or something?
Yeah.
You have to play with pain.
Yeah.
Because in Puerto Rico, there were a bunch of guys that we played together. They knew that I played with the bad arm all my life.
Mm.
All my life.
Mm. Your throwing arm?
Throwing arm.
Really?
Since 1952. My
Is
first
that
year
right?
I played with Cowboys. I hurt my arm playing right field. And I never said anything.
Yeah.
So I used to watch Don Zimmer throw from short to first, and he used to throw underhand.
Is that
and
right?
I'm gonna try, you know, underhand because every time I used to throw overhand, my arm was hurting.
Yeah.
So I said, but I'm trying to throw the same way he threw, and my arm didn't hurt.
I'll be darned.
I didn't have that much on the ball.
Yeah.
But you know, I played like that all through the even playing outfield.
Is that?
I never say anything.
Kind of whipped it, but you just did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you say, well, you're not playing regular, and you tell someone, say, well, my shoulder hurt, they're going to say, well, how the hell you hurt your shoulder when you're not playing?
Sitting there, yeah.
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 He's jaking or something.
Yeah.
So the first thing you will know is that you will find yourself in double A or triple A.
Yeah, especially when you're not an everyday player, I would guess you have to be especially.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, 57, the Dodgers gave you a fight all the way down to the bottom.
Yes.
And now, when Hank Aaron hit that home run.
Against St. Louis.
Against St. Louis. How did that all...
That kind of money, you know.
Yeah.
that's a great feeling, you know.
To be a part of that, that you were
yes,
a part of.
Yes, yeah. Because, I was... playing with winning teams, you know, in the Puerto Rican League.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great feelings, too, because the fans go berserk.
Sure.
And I played with some winning teams there. But I didn't compare it to the 57.
No, nothing. That was it. I mean, that's the pinnacle. Yep. Yeah. Pinnacle.
That's right. Mm. That was great. Mm. Yeah. I guess, you know, Hank felt better than anybody because he wasn't going to hit the home run.
Well, you know, that's what you dream about as a kid, isn't it? Getting the game-winning home run to win the championship, and he did it. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, the game with Harvey Haddix, was that 57 or 58?
I think it was, it might have been 58.
Okay, well, boy.
Oh, 58 or 59, somewhere around there.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the game everybody asked you about.
Yeah.
Yes. And this may be out of chronological order here, but that, you know, one of the great games ever played in the history of baseball, at least in terms of, what were you guys thinking as the game was going on? Were you guys all aware of what was going on during the game in the you know, middle innings, and that it was a perfect game?
Well, the way, you know, he was throwing the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
And he used to keep it down. And he that night he was throwing very well. So I remember about the 15th, and some of the guys were coming and said, well, we're going to get him, you know, by the 6th inning. And then the 6th inning came and went.
Yeah, real
and
fast.
He come the 7th, you know. And somebody said, no, he doesn't seem like he's throwing that well now, but we're going to get him. And the 7th went, and the 8th. And now you could see the eyeballs.
Did
right.
They know it was a perfect game?
That's
of
right. Sure.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there, you know, I knew him. We knew it was a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Perfect game.
Yeah.
So the 9th inning came, I said, oh, my God, this is for real. Yeah. And the 10th, I mean, this is unreal.
It had to be feeling unreal. I mean, because it had never happened before.
No, no. And the amazing thing was that Burdett were getting hit more freely than this guy. And the game was still 0-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think Burdett pitched a
10-hitter or something.
10-hitter or 12-hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were getting hit, you know, pretty well.
Yeah.
But they couldn't score.
Now, when did you get in the game? What inning was that, the 10th?
No, it was the last inning that we played. What, it was 11th
or 12th or something?
Yeah.
And he was still in there?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then you came up. What happened during... I know what the outcome was.
Yeah, Don Hope.
Now, why were you in the game?
I think I came as a pinch runner or pinch hitter or something.
Okay.
And I hit a ground ball that was third, and Hope carried, you know, the throw. It was a low throw. And I reach.
Yeah.
Then Matthew bunted me over, I think.
Yeah, that was, I think so, yeah.
And then...
You know, incidentally, can you imagine a guy bunting you over today who was
right.
A 40-home run hitter?
Yeah.
Never happened. Yeah.
But he bunted me over, and then Edgar was one.
Yeah.
I mean, Hank was one, and Edgar was coming up. And hit the ball between right and center. So I was halfway between second and third.
You weren't sure it was going out?
No, because they used to have that wire fence. Remember?
Okay.
And we don't know if we were going to, you know, catch it or whatever.
Yeah.
So then I saw it, and it went over. So I just came to, you know, score. So all of a sudden, you know, I look. And here's Hank running past in the head cut. And, you know, we could figure out what the hell is going on there.
Yeah.
Because we're waiting, you know, for the guy who hit the home run to shake hands.
Sure.
All of a sudden, Hank is running by the way. Hank is running this way. I mean, this was fun. But, I mean, tragic, you know. We can figure it out.
Yeah.
I said, damn, you know, get back.
Yeah. To sort these guys out.
Yeah. But then the umpire got it together. And the thing we're thinking is, maybe we won't be able to score. Give me. You know, this is weird now. The guy hit the ball at the park.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't come out with any runs or anything. Well, they figured out, and Hank was called out for passing Edgar, or Edgar for passing Hank. You know. And the amazing thing with Hank, at one time, they were coming this way toward by the pitcher's mound.
Okay, yeah.
And we look, and we tell him, get back. Get back, kids.
I guess 800,000 people were at that game. If you talked about to the people,
everybody's been there.
Yeah, I remember listening to it on the radio. I still remember that with Earl Gillespie. Yeah. Well, that had to be one of the
strangest. Yeah,
and you got the run. You know, does it bug you sometimes that people know you for that more than anything?
Well, they know me. A lot of people know me when that score that run, and they know the athlete said, you remember the game in 59, you threw a ball at the first base, and you lost against the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not as bad as Bill Buckner, I guess.
No, Buckner had to leave town. I mean, that's a shame.
And then it really is sad because he was really
a great
fielder.
Sure.
Well, let's first of all, I almost wanted to apologize to you. When you guys were with us in our organization, you know, it's fair game to ask about that play. But
when that guy came.
That guy, yeah, he was really, you know, he did the same thing to Bud Selig.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, when Bud spoke in the afternoon, he was really obnoxious. And I thought you were really classy the way you handled it. You said, I muffed it. Yeah.
That's it.
But in that, I reread something about that particular play, and it said that was not an easy chance, though. And that wasn't something just went through your leg. That was a tough chance.
It was a throw.
It was a throw.
Yeah, because I came in because Lorin got hit by Norman Lark.
Yeah.
He knocked him out of the game.
Right.
So I came in, and we were leading 5-1 or whatever. But the Dodgers tied the game and went to extra innings.
Yeah.
So I don't know, was it 10th or 11th? We had a guy named Bobby Avila.
Sure.
Plays second.
Yeah.
And Bobby was kind of slow at that particular time.
Yeah, the end of his career,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
So he couldn't move, you know, that well. So he told him, he said, I'm going toward the right field. So you come, you know, this way. I said, okay. It was a bouncer over the pitcher's mound, but toward second base.
Mm-hmm.
More behind the bag almost. So I went over there and grabbed the ball. I made the throw the first, but it was a low throw, and Torrey didn't come up with it.
Yeah.
And that's history.
Yeah. But it was this whole world spotlight.
This is
that's one of those, everybody can remember where they were when Kennedy was killed. Yeah, I can remember where I was.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, you can...
I never felt bad, you know, about the whole thing
because
I remember, you know, we're flying from Los Angeles back to Milwaukee, and Rich Indians, you know, came in and said, Felix, you know, you didn't lose this, you know, we should have won the damn thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The game was won, you know, 5-1, and they score a bunch of runs, you know.
It never is one play.
No. Even without Buckner, you know.
Yeah.
I remember that, who was a relief pitcher for Boston, Stanley. Stanley was the one that came in and gave up a run or two.
Yeah, but nobody remembers him at all. Yeah. And there's throughout the years, I guess, there have been those kind of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 57 series now, World Series. What was that? Any particular outstanding memories from the 57 series at all?
The seventh game. We play at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, that's a tough part to play. Because it was double tough because we're playing the Yankees.
I mean, they didn't make it any easier.
That's right. So now this is the seventh game of a World Series at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So it was a little scary. But we played well the first 6-7 innings. And then we score a few runs. We're leading by 4. They had 2 men on, and I knocked a ball down. I was going for a base hit. I knocked it down. Now they had the bases loaded, and now Moose Scarron, you know, coming in. Wow, we're in trouble now because Yankee Stadium does. He could hit the right, you know, fairly well, but he could pull the ball too. So now, if he hit down the line, hit the ball out, you know, the game is tied. And he hit a shot over the line on third base, but Magic made a hell of a catch, you know, and step on the back. That was it.
You must have stuff going through you. Then.
That's right. I mean, this is the greatest feeling of all time. The greatest feeling.
It's got to be. I can't. I mean, you can talk about a lot of other highlights in your life, sure. How long does it take a baseball hit like he hit to get to third base? It's got to be some small fraction of a second.
That's right.
To be able to react that way.
Because when I was playing second, and now the shadow of Yankee Stadium coming in, the top, you know, to see. You know. But I saw when that ball left the bat, you know, oh no, we go down the line, and he backhanded it, you know, one end, step on the bat.
Everybody remembers that. Yeah. Well, then, the 58, you guys won again. And let's see. Yeah, 58. Was winning in 58 the same as it was winning in 57?
No, it seems like it's a little different, you know.
Yeah.
Because we clinched the pennant, I think it was in Cincinnati. And it wasn't the same, you know, with the guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, okay,
yeah,
you know, blah, blah.
Yeah, old stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it seemed, I think, with the fans were getting that way, too.
I think so, because you know, like, every year, you know, in 56, we barely lost it. You know, we lost in the last three games of the season.
Yeah.
We should have won.
Yeah, I think.
And then in 57, we won it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you're supposed to win,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was never quite the same after that. I don't know what it was.
But I don't know why, but...
Yeah. And then 59 we talked about a little... Now, 59 you played 103 games, so you were...
Yeah, because I think it was when Bruton got hurt. You know, I think I played in the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that's... let me just dig through here a little bit what I've got.
Well, Bruton got hurt in the 58. It was one of those 2 years.
Well, he died young, didn't he?
Died not too long ago.
Yeah, that's... I still think of you guys as all being 29 years old. And I get, yeah, there's 58 and, let's see, 59. Yes, sir. Then Bobby Avila came to Milwaukee, played with Milwaukee that year.
Uh-huh.
51 games, a little bit. Mickey Vernon played a little bit. Stan Lopata. I didn't know a lot of these guys.
Yeah, Stan Lopata came
in. Enos Slaughter?
Enos Slaughter came in. Ray Boone played with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Shane Dean said looks like about his last year then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that, though.
Okay. And then 60 things were, at least as far as the
start of the...
Yeah, 60 was things were going down.
Yes, we finished by like 8 or 10 games out, I think.
Yeah, let's see, 86 and 70. Yeah, now and then Fred Haney. And then next year in, let's see, 60. What happened to 60 here? Do I have missed 60? I thought I had them all. Now, who was the manager in 60? In 59, it was Fred Haney, and then Chuck Dressen started off in 61. 60. Now, how about 60? Well, who was...
Well, I think Bertie Tebbit was in 60.
Yeah, he came in 61.
Oh, 61?
Yeah, he replaced Charlie Dressen. But by that time,
the
attendance
was
off.
Yeah. Yeah, the team was, I don't know what the hell happened, you know, but...
And Johnny Logan was gone, and Roy McMillan came in.
Yeah. I don't know if Bruton was gone, too.
Let's see, for some reason, I have 59 here, but I don't have... 59... Yeah, Billy Bruton was still in 133 games, so he must have been hurt in 1960, yeah. And then in 61 you only played 45 games. Do you remember what was going on then?
Well, I guess, you know,
you had Frank Bowling and Ray McMillan.
Yeah, the team wasn't playing that well.
No.
And
the old team was, Del Crandall was not playing as much, and it was not much was left. Aaron and Matthews and Spahn and Burdett, I guess.
Yeah, but Hancock, I think, was gone too.
Oh, he played in 61.
Yeah.
He was back. He played the whole season.
Yeah, 61. Yeah, that was him, 61.
Yeah, but 62. Oh.
Now, they were talking about that was going to be out of here because the Mets were coming out, you know, in Houston. They had two expansion teams.
Can I just do something?
Sure.
Can I just say something?
Yeah. I'm okay myself.
You just wanted to work.
Now I'm
going to
be a chief.
We'll put you
in. You can get me a little bit of oranges.
Okay.
Okay? Thanks.
Now, you were part of the famous 62 Mets. How did that all come about? You know, was that their first year?
First year of the Mets, yeah.
Okay.
Because I was, they took me on that draft, you know.
Yeah.
I think Spangler. Spangler went to Houston.
Okay.
And I went to New York.
Now, here you were with the Braves your whole career.
Yes.
How did that feel? Was it time to move on, Felix, or was that?
Yes, because I didn't play that much, you know, in '61.
Yeah.
And I knew the writing was on the wall when I wasn't playing that much and doing anything. You know?
Yeah.
So I knew I was going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when New York picked me, you know, I didn't know what to expect, you know, because you never know.
Sure.
Yeah. And I went spring training with them, and we did pretty decent, you know, spring training.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the season started, that's when the fun started.
Fans loved you, though, right?
Fans were great on the photographs. Yeah, great. But the team, was, you know, wasn't playing that well. They never did. We only won 40
and 120. Yeah. how did that year go for you? I know statistically you did well.
I think fairly decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richie Admiral was the one. I think he was over 300.
He had 306. Yeah. Yeah. They had Canizero, Thornberry, Charlie Neal, Rod Caniel, Frank Thomas, the old Frank Thomas. Mm-hmm. Jim Hickman and Richie Ashburn.
Yeah.
Gene Woodling, Gil Hodges, Gus Bell. A lot of good names there.
Yeah, Charlie Neal.
Yeah, even John DeMeritt played a little bit with him.
Yeah, he was with us.
Yeah.
And who else? Don Zimmer.
Don Zimmer on the team too, yeah?
Yeah, Don Zimmer played. Mm.
A lot of guys came in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, DeMeritt played there.
Yeah. Well, how was it to play for the 62 Mets? I've got it. You enjoyed. I mean, you got to play, which is good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was tough. You know, we were losing every day. Tough, but and then coming from a winning, you know, organization.
It was an adjustment.
Sure, but the other guys were going, you know, through the same changes too. I mean, how'd you play with the Dodgers and Labine, all those guys, you know.
Yeah, they were
going through that.
So everybody kind of shared that together. Let's see, who else was? A lot of real big names there. And then, in fact, I got something here that, I don't know if you ever saw this before. They had something about, the all-decade New York Mets team. You didn't know about that one, huh?
I didn't know.
All-decade team. Well, you keep that for your son, too, And then the Red Sox traded three guys for you.
Yes.
The next year.
I knew I was gone, you know, at that time. Because when you lose that many games, you know, somebody has to go.
Yeah.
And I didn't know I was going to the Red Sox. But they gave three players, you know, and when I got to Boston, you know, I wasn't playing that much either, you know.
At first?
No.
Let's see, I got to get my con. I was 63. 63, yeah. So in the beginning, you weren't playing that much.
No. But then...
That's right, 66 games in the first year, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, you were playing for Johnny Pesky then.
He was a manager, yes.
Yeah. What kind of a manager was Pesky?
Pesky was, you know, a good manager, you know, mm-hmm. but we didn't have the horses, you know, for the Red Sox. We had, you know, a good hitting team.
Yeah, Yastrzemski was... young kid then.
Yes. And we had Yastrzemski and Tillman and...
Dick Stewart. Was he as bad a fielder as people said he was?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Old Dr. Strange Glove, is that what they call it? He'd home run or strike out and...
Yeah, he was a character. Yeah. we played in Cleveland. And someone hit a ground ball... to second, so I fielded the ball. Now he's going back to first, but he's taking some time. So I had to release the ball. So at the time that he turned around, the ball got by him. He never saw it. So the only thing he looks at me and say, E4.
Yeah. Didn't win it on his
the E4.
Well, I guess, yeah. He didn't, wasn't a gazelle with the glove.
No.
Well, you know, but now, who was the best fielding first baseman you ever played with?
I was a Lick Power.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But now, you've got to feel different playing infield with Vic Power on first base than you do with Dick Stewart, though.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Completely. You know, I played with Vic Power for about 13 straight years, you know. And this guy was great.
Now, what do you played in Puerto Rico?
In the Puerto Rican League. Yeah, we played together for about 13 years.
Okay.
I saw Vic about a year or so ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, still looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he's, I don't know if he's scouting. He's a scout for the Anaheim or something.
But you take him over Stewart and, yeah. Let's see, who else? Yeah, Gene Conley was there.
Yes.
A little bit. And Chet Nichols, who used to play with the old Milwaukee, was Wilbur Wood, he was still pretty young, though.
Yeah, he was just starting.
Yeah, Bill Mambo, Dick Raddatz, he was...
Yeah, the pitching staff was, you know, consisted, you know, of Mambo and Dick Raddatz, you know, maybe another pitcher or whatever. We were short.
Yeah, the starters were Mambo, Earl Wilson, Dave Moorhead, Bob Hefner, and that was about it. There was only four guys who started.
Yeah, we didn't have that much pitching.
Then came 64. What the heck happened? What happened to Felix Mantia? All of a sudden, the most home runs you'd ever hit was 16 with Toledo, and something nice happened. And
well, I guess, you know, people used to say here in Milwaukee, some of the managers, well, Felix, you know, we don't play him regular because he gets tired. You play him, you know, every day he gets tired.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what they used to say. You know.
Well, yeah.
So then I went to New York, and I played over 100-some
games. 141
games. That's right.
Yeah.
So now, how come I'm not tired now?
Yeah.
So now, when I got to Boston, now I play more.
Yeah. Yeah, you play 133 games that year.
So I'm feeling good, you know, about playing every day.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end of the season, we're getting a little tired.
Well, and the confidence that people have in you, too, has got to be that.
Sure.
That you go to the ballpark knowing that your name is up on the list every day.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to be looking and see who's going to pinch it for you.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
and if you go for 0-4, you still
don't matter.
Tomorrow.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Especially, you know, when you used to play like a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
You go 0-4 that Saturday night, and then you have a doubleheader that Sunday.
Yeah.
But your name's going to be in the lineup regardless.
Yeah.
So that's completely different.
Gives you some confidence,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
But now, how did you like Fenway?
Great park, you know, to see. You know, you can see the ball real well, you know, on the field or hitting, you know.
Yeah.
Because everything seems like it's green, you know. So it's great, you know, for the guys to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Kilbrew, you know, used to come there. And, wow. You see some of the damn shots. And K-Line, he's love to hit there.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very nice ballpark.
Okay. But 30 home runs, that was a coming out year.
Yeah, it was one of the things. I can't explain it. Yeah.
289, you didn't bother to analyze it.
No. I mean, you keep on swinging, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. No, they traded three guys for you.
Yeah, one pitcher, one in. I think two pitchers.
I think Pumpsy Green was one. I got that here too, someplace. Let's see. In fact, I got a plaque. Where's a plaque here too that they got for the Red Sox? Is this it? No. This is all your baseball cards. No, I won't spend the time to dig it out, but I have the list of guys that... But there's three guys. Yeah. Oh, here. Pumpsy Green, Tracy Stollard, and Al Moran.
Yeah, I remember Tracy Stollard.
Yeah, he was the guy...
He
had some famous pitch. Oh, I think it was Roger Maris hit his...
Yeah, he hit the 60
first home run off.
Yeah,
now everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
So that was the best year you ever had. And then the next year in 65, again, you were there every day. 150 games, 18 more homers, 92 RBIs.
I enjoyed that year better than the one with the 30 home run.
Now, why was that?
Because I drove in more runs there than I hit in 30 home runs, even though that I was sometimes hitting, when I hit the 30 home runs, I was hitting sometimes second, sometimes lead off.
Nobody was there in front of you.
Yeah. So the other time I was hitting third, fourth, fifth with Yastrzemski, and I drove in more runs.
How about Tony Conigliaro? What was your impression of him?
Good hitter.
Now that was were you there when he got hurt?
No.
Okay.
No, I was out of
that.
Yeah. But he was a very good hitter. Good outfielder. Young guy.
Was he really good outfielder? He was only 20 then.
Yeah. Very good outfielder.
Yeah. So you had he and Yastrzemski and boy, those guys were pretty good players. But the Red Sox, 62-100. The team didn't do well.
No. Attendance wise, either. I mean. We couldn't win. I mean,
650,000 for the year,
and bad pitching staff.
Yeah,
the only thing we had, you know, Mambo, Errol Wilson. You knew the two guys were going to win,
and that was it.
Yeah, and Raddatz, you know.
And but he couldn't pitch every game.
No, but
Wilson, Mambo, kept Moorhead, Lomborg, and Dennis Bennett.
Dennis Bennett had a bad arm, you know, that time.
Yeah. So now, what happens now? You'd been around by that time. I mean, you were ripe old age of 30 by that time, and you're playing with a team that's not winning. Does that get to you, Felix, or is it every game is different and you get up for every game? This is an interview with Felix Mantilla, and I'm Bill Stevens. And the standard disclaimer that this might be heard by other people and reporters, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, but the first, you know, getting way, way back a little bit. How was it growing up in Isabella? How did that?
I started playing with the police athletic league.
Ah.
And then. It was a team of older guys. We call it Class A ball.
Okay. And this was in a Puerto Rican?
In my hometown.
Okay.
Yes. And I played for them 1 year.
Thank you.
And from there, I went to Arecibo. It was about 45 minutes from my hometown. And that's Double A. And I played there 2 years. I joined the Puerto Rican national team. That we played the series in Mexico, and we won the whole thing. The only Puerto Rican team to ever win.
Is that
anything.
Right?
Yes.
Anybody? Who else was on that team that made it? Anybody else?
A few guys played pro in the Puerto Rican league, but none of them made it to the
to the bigs.
To the bigs.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, now what position did you play then?
At that time, I was playing third.
Oh, is that right? You were always an infielder, though.
Always an infielder.
Okay.
I came as a third baseman, and the first year I played with Evansville, I started as a third baseman. But then Bob Coleman, who was the manager, said, "Well, now I'm going to try your shirt."
Yeah.
And that was it.
Okay, so but you ended up playing everything except what, first base and then catcher?
Catcher. Yes.
Well, now, how big of a family did you come from?
Two sisters and myself.
Okay. So you were the. And what did your dad do?
He used to work on construction. And he was what we call it. He used to drive a publico car. Publico car is like a taxi driver.
Well, when did you start playing baseball? When you were a little kid? Does everybody in Puerto Rico play baseball?
At the time that I was playing, it seemed like the whole town was playing baseball.
Yeah.
Because
like the Dominican Republic.
Sure. But, everybody plays. Yeah. And I started with the police athletic league very young. It was maybe 9 or 10.
Is that like the little leagues here today?
Kind of. Yes.
So then you were interested in baseball right off the bat. Now, did you play in high school too, or is that?
Well, that was almost the same thing. You know,
yeah.
Yes. We used to play softball and the hard pitch, you know, we call them, you know, softball and baseball and track. I used to run track.
Oh, is it? What were you in track?
100 meters.
Oh, yeah? You still do that today?
I don't think so. I won't be able to go from here across the street. Then.
I think you could probably.
And that'll be walking.
Yeah. Now, did you have a favorite player or team when you were a kid?
My favorite player, well, I had a couple of, you know, when I grew up. There was a guy named Luis Marquez.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah. He used to play for the Braves.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think he played here with when they used to be the Brewers.
Yes, he did, yeah.
It was Luis Marquez and Luis Olmo.
Luis Olmo.
Yeah.
Luis Olmo was, I think, one of the first Puerto Rican players, wasn't he?
Yes. Him and Hiram Bithler.
That's right, that's right. Hiram
pitched for the Cubbies.
That's
and I think one year he won 20 games.
I think he, in fact, he was with the Cubs in 45, I think, when they, the last time they won.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I didn't realize that he was Puerto Rican because it's not a standard Puerto Rican name.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, don't they have a baseball field named after him?
In San Juan, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that stadium been there since 1964 or
5. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm Beeson Stadium.
See, I started following baseball in about 45, so I remember listening to that World Series that year.
Because Luis Olmo has a park there too in the professional league there in Arecibo.
Is he still alive? Do you know?
Yes, I saw him the year before last.
Did you really?
He's in the 80s. He looks good.
Yeah?
But the only thing he does now is play golf. But he looks good.
That's his game. Yeah, thank you. Well, now how did this? Did somebody just were always watching you guys, scouts and things like that? Is that how you ended up who signed you and how did that take place?
Well, I was signed by the Cowboys baseball team of the professional league.
Okay.
The Puerto Rican league. And then the Cowboys team sent me to Merrill Beach, South Carolina, where the Boston Braves used to train.
Sure.
And from then on, you know, Boston signed me and sent me to Evansville, and then from Evansville I went to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And then from Jacksonville I went to Toledo.
Okay, got the whole goods on you here.
That's right. That's right.
So Evansville, now how old were you when you went to Evansville? And you were
17.
17 years old. How did that feel, a 17-year-old kid? I've probably never been out of Puerto Rico?
Never, and I remember I needed about maybe a month or a little over a month to finish high school. So the principal knew that I was coming to the States, and he told me, well, Felix, you might have some problems when you get to the United States. But I couldn't figure out what kind of problems he was talking about. And he said that you're going to go from San Juan to Miami, and then from Miami to Merrill Beach, South Carolina. He said, sometime if you ride a bus to avoid problems,
yeah.
You have to sit in the back. So I was telling him, I said, why should I sit in the
this
back?
This is all new to you.
Yeah, because we didn't go through that in Puerto Rico. So he said, well, that's the way, you know, the laws are in Florida and in South Carolina. So I said, well, I'll try, you know, to follow, you know, what you're saying. You know.
But he was trying to warn you a little bit.
That's right. Yeah.
But he couldn't prepare you for it, though, could he? I mean, I got to ask how that, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that being in your position, even aside from baseball, to walk into that.
Well, it was a little easier coming from San Juan, and then we stopped in Miami, because with me, there were about 10 Puerto Rican guys.
Oh, okay.
That they were coming to the same kind of spring training.
So you weren't all alone.
Yeah. So at the time that we took the train from Florida to Maryland, then we had, you know, we start seeing things that we didn't see in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
We supposed to run certain cars. Black folks, you know, they ain't right here. So it was an adventure, I would say that.
Adventure is So here you started out playing. Well, Evansville's in Indiana, but that's still a bit of a southern town, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely segregated at that time.
Wow. How did you... How did you cope with it? Is that something you just said to yourself, look, I'm playing ball and that's the way it is? Or did you get angry about it? Or is that...
Well, at that age, you know, you see things different, you know, and I didn't speak English too well, and if someone were calling me names, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
It was lucky
so I didn't care.
Blissfully ignorant.
So you know how you know, when you're young, you look at the thing completely.
That's true. Well, who was your first manager then at Evansville?
Bob Coleman. He was a great man.
Good guy?
Very good guy.
What did you like about him?
Well, he was the one that that I used to ride with. You know, we used to ride in a station wagon.
Hmm.
So it was a guy named Vital. I think he was Mexican. He used to ride in the wagon because he could speak Spanish a little bit. And then Bob, and then a driver, and the dog's dog. He had a big German Shepherd, and all of us used to get in the. In the station wagon, we used to go, let's say, from Evansville to Burlington, to Terre Haute, you know. So,
first class.
Yeah, that's right. I used to ride with the manager. Yeah. So from then on, you know, he used to, you know, like me. I liked the guy a lot. You know. Gave me a chance to play.
How much coaching did you get in those days?
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks. In Terre Haute, you know, we used to get the kind of coach.
Yeah?
Yes. But it seemed like in the newer days, you know, they don't get that.
Hmm.
You know, the fundamentals, you know, that's obsolete. But we used to get it, yeah, years ago. Sliding, running bases, everything.
Now, was that all new to you? And now, in Puerto Rico, you were playing because you...
That you liked it, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't get that much... teaching you.
Yeah.
You go there and play the damn game. That's
sure,
it.
Sure.
But when we got to spring training, they used to tell you, well, at 7 o'clock, breakfast. Quarter to 8, we walk to the ballpark.
Wow.
Then you dress. 9:30,
we're on the... Out.
That's
right
it.
Now.
Then you're on the... These are, I think, what, 4 or 5 diamonds. Coaches that used to watch from upstairs.
Oh, is that right?
And then you go to 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever.
There's like a production factory, Omar.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
What was the toughest thing for you to learn in terms of fundamentals?
It wasn't sliding because then I knew how to slide.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a rundown.
Ah.
In Puerto Rico, we didn't care if it take half an hour to get a runner.
Right.
As long as you get the guy. You know.
Right.
But then here, they used to say, no, but 2 or 3 throws, you know, you got to get this guy.
Huh.
So that was a little hard.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, you had a good year at Evansville. You hit 323.
Yes.
Not bad. And a little bit, 23 doubles. Stole 28 bases.
28 bases. That used to run pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it went from 23 to 13 to 11.
Until it kept going down.
Yeah. Well, then you, 53, then you went to Jacksonville.
Yes.
Now, that was a promotion for you.
From B-ball to A-ball, that was...
okay.
That was... But yeah. I was supposed to go from... I heard I was supposed to go from the B-ball to double A-ball.
Okay, they kind of led you to believe that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then they said, no, we're going to send you to Jacksonville. But that was A-ball. But then I found out the reason that he sent me to the Crackers. There used to be Atlanta Crackers.
Yeah.
That was a double A team.
Yeah.
Then he sent me there because Atlanta was very segregated. And
yeah,
I could have problems. Plus, I was a younger guy, so they didn't want to rush me into
Okay.
Like that.
So it was as much the social scene at that time as it was baseball.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so you went to spring training then with Jacksonville, or you went to spring training with the Braves?
With the Brewers.
With the Brewers.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a Triple A team.
That's right. 52 was the... That was the year that we got the Braves in Milwaukee.
Yeah, 50.
That's right.
Yes. I think we had a 53.
53. Yeah. I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
About the same age.
Yeah.
Now, Ben Garrity was the manager there.
In Jacksonville.
Yeah, no. Hank Aaron said that he was the best manager he ever played for.
Very good guy. Yeah, very good guy. He used to have, you know, kind of a nervous guy, you know, but a very good manager.
Yeah.
And a very good human being. And I used to ask him, I said, well, you kind of spastic, you know. He's nervous, you know. He said, well, somewhere, he had another team, you know, I don't know if it was B-ball or whatever, and they were running a bus or whatever, and the bus went over an embankment, and some people got killed. And,
wow.
And from then on, he was kind of a shaky.
That would do it for me, too. I remember him with the old association. He played with Indianapolis, and he got into a big fight with a guy named Joe Rulo, and I don't know why I remember that, but he apparently didn't back down a lot, either.
He was a good man. Tough man.
Here's where I got the whole sordid story. Aaron, now, just I'm going to give you this. I think you'll get a kick out of it. But it's talking about, it was a typically hot summer in 53, and the first that black players had been allowed to play minor league ball in Dixie. Jacksonville had Aaron, shortstop Felix Mantilla, and outfield Horace Garner.
Yeah, Horace died about maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And Aaron, and I, now here's the part I did. Aaron was quiet, almost mute. He was uneducated and shy. The 1974 Aaron is testimony to what a man can do with his mind and body if given a chance. Mantilla was outgoing, a flashy Puerto Rican who wore chartreuse trousers and a zoot suit key that hung to his knee. Is that true?
I can't remember. So many years ago.
Well, the guy that wrote this apparently was a scoreboard kid, Hubert Mizell.
Yeah, well,
he hung the numbers out there.
I used to be kind of flashy those years.
Yeah.
So I guess they're telling the truth.
It says Felix made it to the majors from Milwaukee and then the Red Sox. Garner retired to become a bartender a few blocks away on Ashley Street, apparently. And it talks about, you know, it still being a segregated ballpark.
Yeah.
And 3 hours before the game, each game, an old aircraft searchlight from World War II would be cranked up behind the right field. And some stuff you'll probably remember, but it said, I was talking about, that Aaron Mantilla and Garner wound up at a rooming house owned by the proprietor of Manuel's Tavern.
That's right. And you know, the amazing thing was that he had a beautiful home, you know, not too far from the ballpark.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And the guy was Puerto Rican.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You were from a town called Mayagüez.
So, you felt a little bit more comfortable.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure.
And it seems disgraceful now, but then, to all concerned, it seemed in place. Aaron Mantilla and Garner never complained openly, and in fact, all three were outstanding players. The fact that they were all three outstanding players kept problems down among the white fans on the road. The three played stayed in private black homes in ghetto wise, or in crummy hotels that belonged to the Skid Row League.
I remember we played in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm.
And we're staying in this hotel, so-called. And we're staying upstairs because downstairs is a restaurant where they used to fry fish.
You can still smell it today.
I mean, we're talking during the summertime, you know, and the windows had to be open, you know.
Yeah.
And then you're smelling that.
Do you eat fish to this day?
maybe that's why I like fish.
Was that just something that you just say, well, that's the way it is, or?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have any other choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was it, and then, we go from there. I remember when things used to go a little rough with the fans, you know, calling people names or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I told you a few minutes ago, you know, with me, you know, they could call me anything because I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. You know.